Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here with another video, and today we're going to be revisiting something that I know a lot of you have been asking about. It's the Phantom Lord story, and a lot of you, you know, I message us, me and Sam, all of the time about, oh, are there any updates? And obviously, the answer is always the same. If we have any updates, we'll bring them to you. Now, obviously, he was named in some class action lawsuits, and these things certainly take time. And you know from our other videos and other reporting that these class action lawsuits have kind of been moved around. They're trying to decide what type of court they need to happen in and everything. And the whole thing's been a bit of a mess because the class action suit doesn't want to just penalize the people that own individual gambling sites. It wants to take on the institution of skins gambling as a whole. So it's a much more complex issue than, say, a lawyer just taking Phantom Lord to task. But we were sent some interesting chat logs from Twitch, which we double checked on and had them verified. And we got sent this by a couple of people. So we thought we'd put a video out there, you know, mainly for our own amusement, because there's some fairly absurd things being said in these in this conversation. And it was actually with Dingle Derper's mother, I should say, in case you don't know what I'm saying, Ma. And she was on Twitch, and I imagine, you know, she likes to interact with people on the stream. I get that. You know, I see it happen a lot. I got to be honest, Sam, I think it's a bit weird when parents do that in esports, you know? Yeah, a bit much in it. You know, and it's like, oh, hey, my child is a famous personality, a famous streamer. I'm going to sort of get my 15 minutes vicariously through them. I see this quite a lot, especially in League. But whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat. But yeah, so we got sent these chat logs, and in it are some fairly outrageous assertions that we wanted to present to you all. So we'll start with the first instance, the first picture. So this is from the account Dingle's Mom, as it's called. And somebody was kind of saying in there, you know, what's going on? And we've clipped all of their conversation out of these pictures. You know, what's going on with this whole skins betting stuff? And isn't Dingle Derper just so dreamy and wonderful? So Dingle's mom answers, thanks, I do have an adorable daughter. Do you think she would stay with James, that's Phantom Lord, if he actually did what everyone thinks? I would not have anything to do with him. Nor would she if the allegations were true. And that's all they are, allegations. Usually you are innocent until proven guilty. He's tied, that should read, by his Twitch contract and not allowed to say anything. So first off, I can certainly tell you that, yes, I suppose it's fair to say that these are allegations. I mean, these are allegations with pretty much overwhelming evidence to the contrary. To suggest he's innocent. I mean, I've still not heard a valid explanation for what could be going on in those logs. And, you know, nobody's ever denied that those logs are real. I mean, quite the opposite. In fact, everybody we've checked with verifies their authenticity. Every independent journalist that's looked at the logs has agreed with me. You know, we sent them to multiple independent journalists, not just in, you know, esports and gaming, you know, mainstream journalists too. And everybody agreed that with the corresponding dates and everything, these cannot be a forgery. So I got to ask, you know, what could be going on there? What could Phantom Lord possibly mean when he's asking for percentages? You know, when he's asking the website's code a percent, can you give me a percent? Hey, I'm going to be betting tonight. Can you give me a percent? What could he possibly mean, Sam?
Percentage chance of winning based on the stars alignment.
Oh, like some a horoscope.
Astrology shit, yeah.
Right. I guess that might be it. So anyway, she goes on and says, you know, he's tied by his Twitch contract and not allowed to say anything until the lawyers are done with whatever Amazon says they need to finish before they'll lift the ban. It sucks not being able to defend yourself. Well, again, absolutely, he's had the platform to defend himself. I'm going to tell you, he was advised, and again, I know this from speaking to my sources, he was advised not to say anything by his own legal counsel. It's got nothing to do with a Twitch contract or an Amazon contract, and everything to do with self-preservation and self-protection. We know this. We've talked to other people. He's been going around advising other people involved not to say anything either, which is why you haven't seen any interviews with any of the other confederates in this scheme. So she also says here that they've been writing weekly letters trying to get the ban lifted. And she hopes it's going to be resolved within the next 2 weeks. So actually less than 2 weeks now at the time of recording this, because we were sent these, I think, 2-3 days ago. He misses streaming, and his feelings were kind of hurt by how fast his fans turned on him. I mean, it's weird that, isn't it? It's like, you know, when you're exposed, having not declared ownership of a site that your stream advertises, when Twitch have actually warned you to cut down how much time you spend gambling on that site and to introduce more gameplay, and then you complain about that internally with your own mod team, saying Twitch suck, this platform that gives you a livelihood, simply saying, can you not make your stream all about gambling? And again, we've done a video on that. And we got the logs and we spoke to moderators. You know, he says, yep, Twitch suck. So that's how highly he thinks of them. Just because they said, hey, you know, we're a platform about playing games primarily. So can you maybe play some games instead of just gambling for skins all day? Right? And so obviously, when you then add to that the fact that you owned the site, you didn't declare that you owned the site, and you were actually engaging in altering outcomes and betting accordingly to give yourself more favorable chances of winning. Yeah, I can imagine my fans would turn on you, I think. You know? Now, her next claim is a little bit strange as well. She says Tori's fans turned on her as well, and she had nothing to do with any of it. Guilt by association. So, again, now look, I don't encourage harassment of these people. We've always been very clear about that. You know, shortly after the story broke, people were messaging me going, oh, look, Dingle Derp is back streaming. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, she can totally go about and live the rest of her life for all I care. Like, you know, I don't endorse anybody harassing her or if they think I'm going to be interested in what she's doing or keeping tabs on her, they're very much mistaken. But to say that she had nothing to do with it is very disingenuous, if not an out-and-out lie. Again, one of the publications we sent the logs to, the unedited hacked Skype logs, we sent them across to PvP Live and a few others, and some people wanted to focus on how much Dingle Derpa actually knew about the site. Now, for me, it's inconceivable that she didn't know Phantom Lord owned it. I mean, that seems to be an incredible leap. But you can see in this PvP Live report that we'll bring up for you now, one of the passages in these chat logs said that she wanted Dingle Derp's account to have access to the stats that they were using for advertisers on the website CSGO Shuffle. That's a request from James. So I suppose for Dingle's, you know, Tori's mother to be accurate here, we have to suppose that James was asking for these types of, access for her without informing her, which again seems a little bit far-fetched. Also as well, you know, you can see that they provided Dingle Derpa with skins from this, you know, huge slush fund of skins that they had amassed. you know, for her birthday. Well, she's got to know where these are coming from. How can you just transfer skins from CSGO Shuffle if you don't own the site, if you don't have access to that kind of thing? So so that was what they focused on. So I think to say she knew nothing about it, I don't think that that is entirely true. You know, I kind of think it's a bit of a fib, actually. So, but it's the last part of the conversation that makes me particularly concerned, and certainly would give me pause for thought about my next course of action. And this is what she says here. She says, the articles that you are quoting from are all based on a story that Richard Lewis fabricated. So understand what fabricated means. That means I invented it completely whole cloth. I made it up. It's a lie. It's all fiction. So I'm intrigued at that allegation, because what is she proposing? That I actually somehow cleverly synthesized all of these Skype logs myself? Is that what I did? Or that I inserted parts into the chat logs again by myself to create a salacious, sensationalist storyline? Because I didn't do those things. In fact, me and Sam pored over those Skype logs with a fine-tooth comb, and Sam can testify to how much verification work we put in, because I was incredibly stressed about releasing this information. I knew this was such a serious charge. It had to be right. There could be no withdrawals. There could be no retractions if this was wrong. This was a man's career, and we took it very seriously, Sam, right? I mean, how long?
You took weeks? Days deliberate whether or not to put it out even afterwards, because you were on edge.
Yeah, once we'd got it all verified, I was even panicking about putting it out there. So we definitely didn't fabricate anything. I mean, that goes without saying. But then she kind of contradicts it, because the next part of the sentence is that I fabricated the story from a few hacked Skype logs taken out of context. I don't understand what that means. So she's saying it's fabricated, but she's also saying the Skype logs are real and they're just out of context. Well, again, I am struggling to think of what the other context might be. What could it possibly be when you have these long-winded exchanges with people, basically bossing them around, when you demand percentages, when you constantly talk about site business and site finances? What else are you if not the owner? What else could the percentages possibly mean? If somebody else can provide me with a different context for it, I'll certainly be open-minded enough to look at it. But unfortunately, on the balance of probability, there is only one interpretation that's correct. And it's the one that we arrived at, and the one that multiple independent journalists arrived at as well. She says, every other article has based its facts off of my fabrication. And so his fabrication, meaning me. Lawsuits were all dropped, sure to lack of merit. Well, this isn't true either. So first of all, nobody based anything on my fabrications. We sent entire Skype logs, which includes reams and reams of stuff we didn't publish because it contained personal information, identifying information, another reason why it was impossible for these Skype logs to be fake. We sent them out there so people could do their own studies. And they published those articles based on their own investigations, based on what they looked at themselves through those logs. You'll notice certain reports focused on very different things to what we focused on, and actually kind of decided to make focal points out of things we just kind of felt were periphery and not as important. The lawsuits haven't been dropped due to lack of merit. Again, as we've said earlier, and we know this from talking to Jasper Ward and the litigation, they're trying to find what court it needs to go to and what remit it would fall under. this is not the, this isn't, it has no merit. This is that this is a class action suit and we're trying to decide what the appropriate way to proceed is. Nothing has been dismissed as being baseless or without merit. This is a lie. Certainly, if that's happened, then the lawyers themselves that are pursuing this class action suit do not know about it yet. So that seems very odd that the you know, somebody who was effectively a defendant in a class action suit would know ahead of the people who want to pursue with the legal action. So these comments are incredibly bizarre to me, because here's the thing. If we fabricated this, why wouldn't that be your go-to defense at the time? Why wouldn't that be the thing that you initially come out with? Has anyone said that these were fabricated, that were directly implicated in it? Did Kerr say that? Did Phantom Lord say that? Did Joris say that? Did anybody say that? They didn't, right? So because they didn't, I think we can safely assume that to now try and make that the narrative, to now try and spin it, that is in fact the case, is pretty fucking desperate. There's just no other way to look about it. Now, here's what I will also say. We've obviously conducted further investigations around this, and we've respected people coming to us in confidence, and we've amassed some pretty compelling evidence, which we've said to the people involved in the class action suit, any of it they want for the purposes of legal action, we'll share it. But we've certainly not made it public because there's no need to. We think the report stands on its own merits. Now, if people are going to start throwing crazy allegations out there about us fabricating evidence, we may have to put this out to defend our own the veracity of our reporting and our own reputations. Now, it would be an incredible self-own to go down this route of saying we fabricated the report. I'll say that now, that it would be an incredibly bad idea for all involved. It would be a blow that these people would not come back from. And understand, I'm not saying these people shouldn't have careers or anything in future. You know, I don't know how I'd feel about it if they were unbanned on Twitch, honestly. I think when you've used Twitch as a conduit to effectively defraud an audience and take money away from them in dishonest circumstances, I kind of think Twitch should take a hard line against that kind of thing. That's my opinion. Am I saying this person shouldn't be allowed to have a career as a streamer, that he should be thrown in shackles? And no, I'm not saying any of those things. Obviously, this person's made an error of judgment. They should face the appropriate consequences, whatever they might be, and then we should move on with our lives. But the way to get around this isn't to say that I lied and I made it up, because we all know that's not true. And people saying this kind of thing, it's only going to make the situation worse for everybody involved, and I'm sure we don't want that. So that's the update. Now, I'm certainly going to start digging into whether or not there is a chance he's going to be unbanned and returned to Twitch. I do find it unlikely that this is the case, and perhaps this is a bit of bluff and bravado, because I imagine the assumption would be, if he was unbanned on Twitch, that he must be innocent after all. But there's people who've received life bans from the Twitch platform for a hell of a lot less. And it would certainly open some serious questions to Twitch's appeals process, or lack thereof, if they were to unban him and allow him to return. So there you have it. Anyway, I thought that was all interesting, and we thought we'd share it with you. Of course, as with all of our stories, we will keep you up to date with any developments, and we are certainly going to look at these new claims that is the lawsuits without merit, and that he might be coming back. So no doubt you will get some more videos from us about this in the future. But until then, take care, and we will see you on the next video.